Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, April the 4th. And we will talk this hour about whether men and boys should be added to a federal program, a program in Wisconsin that provides medical services and family planning, including birth control, right now to low-income women and girls in Wisconsin. The Family Planning Demonstration Project is a program designed to reduce unplanned pregnancies and reduce Medicaid costs. It is currently just targeting low-income women and girls, girls as young as 15. Governor Doyle's proposed budget seeks to expand the program to include men and boys. Boys as young as 15. And once again, critics are upset that minors could get birth control, like free condoms for boys, without their parents' knowledge. We will talk with an advocate of this program in our first half hour, and after 6:30, a state lawmaker who doesn't like it. Senator Glenn Grothman sponsored a bill last year that would have raised the eligibility age of the females participating in the program to 18. It didn't pass, but he says he's going to try again this year. We will wonder what you think about this idea and the proposal to expand this program to include low-income men and boys. And we will welcome your questions and thoughts for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. So, do you think that this program that offers birth control and other services to low-income women and girls in Wisconsin should be expanded to offer similar services to men and boys? We will start with Chris Taylor, Public Policy Director and Staff Attorney for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being with us. So currently this program, among other things, does offer birth control to the eligible or the participating girls and women.
That is correct, Joy. It also includes cervical and breast cancer testing and treatment, sexually transmitted disease infection testing and treatment, and birth control counseling and devices.
Yeah. And the whole point of this program is?
Is to reduce unintended pregnancy, particularly for the teen population.
Yeah. Is it working?
It certainly is working. Currently, there are almost 63,000 women receiving services under this program who would not be eligible to receive services under traditional Medicaid. So it is a program that is serving underserved women and providing access to these services. The analysis by DHFS that have looked at this program and the success of this program have concluded that this program does work. In 2000, before the implementation of the program, there were 92 births for every 1,000 low-income girls ages 15 to 17. And by 2003, there were only 1.5 births per 1,000 girls in that same age and income group who participated in this program. So it is working to reduce unintended pregnancy.
From 92 births to just less than two?
Right, according to DHFS analysis.
Yeah. So why include boys and men in this program?
Well, it's very important, I think, to include males in this program because men do play a key role in preventing unintended pregnancies and the transmission of sexually transmitted infections, including HIV and AIDS. If we're only treating women, that's really only one half of the equation, obviously. It's particularly critical to offer testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections and encourage men to avail of these services because condom usage is really the most critical way to reduce the spread of sexually transmitted infections like HIV in sexually active individuals. So educating men about why condom usage is critical is an absolute essential component of increasing the use of condoms, since men often determine and influence contraceptive usage.
Well, the issue that seems to be raising the most eyebrows is that minors, the 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, the girls now and maybe the boys later, could get this the contraception or the birth control without the knowledge of parents. Is that right?
Well, first of all, Joy, it's really important to realize that the vast majority of women participating in this program, 68% of those participating are women between the ages of 18 and 29. So that's 43,000 individuals in that age category, and 90% of the individuals participating in this program are adults. So the teen population being served is a relatively small population, but an important population, because once a teen gets pregnant, she's in the Medicaid system. And what that means is that taxpayers are already paying for the teen birth and delivery costs, which are far more expensive than providing contraceptives to teens. So it's a win-win. It's a cost savings for the state, certainly. And it also, by preventing unintended teen pregnancy, it makes tremendous difference in that teen's life, because most teens who do have children live in poverty and don't finish high school. So it has tremendous, tremendous social implications as well. It's also important to know that under Medicaid law, minors have a right to receive confidential family planning services. So it's not that we don't want to encourage minors to talk to their parents. Parents are an absolute essential part of this, certainly of this dialogue, and certainly Planned Parenthood does everything that we can do to make sure that dialogue happens in educating individuals, and we have programs that are specifically aimed at helping parents talk to their children about these issues. But unfortunately, we know that that conversation doesn't happen in every family. And there are some families where there are instances of abuse, there are instances of alcoholism and drug addiction, and those conversations are not happening. And those children, oftentimes, those teens are engaging in risky sexual behaviors. So the confidential nature of these services for some teens is absolutely critical in ensuring that they will access these services and hopefully not contract a sexually transmitted infection or experience an unintended pregnancy.
We're talking with Chris Taylor. She is a public affairs, public policy director, and a staff attorney for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. She supports a proposal to expand a program in Wisconsin that provides family planning counseling and birth control services to low-income women and girls to include low-income men and boys, meaning that girls and boys as young as 15 could receive birth control without their parents' knowledge. And critics don't like that part of it. We welcome your questions for our guest, your side of this issue, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Just about 19 minutes past 6 o'clock right now, we're talking about a proposal to expand a program in Wisconsin that provides family planning services to low-income girls and women. It's designed to reduce unintended pregnancies and Medicaid costs. Governor Doyle wants to expand this program to include low-income boys and men. Under his budget proposal, boys as young as 15, just as girls as young as 15 currently, could take part in this program and could, to the opposition of some pro-life groups and others, get free condoms and birth control without the knowledge of their parents. We're talking with a guest who supports the expansion of the program to include males, and after 6:30 we'll hear from a state lawmaker who doesn't. At least he was planning on reintroducing legislation to raise the eligibility age to participate in this program to 18 for women. We will hear from him after 6:30. About this current idea to expand the program. Our guest in this half hour, Chris Taylor with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. And we have some calls coming in. We do have a line for you if you have a question or a view on this. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. But before I go to the phones, Chris Taylor, what would be wrong with Senator Glenn Grothman's proposal to make this program available just to adults, just the 18 and above, and not the teenagers?
Well, Joy, it's also important to remember that this program at its inception was supported by both Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature and signed into law by Governor Tommy Thompson, because they realize, and certainly former Governor Tommy Thompson realized, that preventing teen pregnancy was absolutely critical to the state for cost savings, but also to ensure that each teen has the opportunity at the best future possible. The ramifications of an unintended pregnancy for a teen are lifelong and impact everything from education to ability to earn a living wage. So that epidemic of teen pregnancy has many, many social consequences, and that was the idea behind this program. So the problem with Senator Grossman's proposal, first of all, is that it could knock Wisconsin out of compliance with our contract with the federal government to provide this program, because preventing teen pregnancy was an absolute essential piece of that promise. The federal government had to approve this program because we were changing Medicaid rules, and that was absolutely a central piece. So the state basically made a promise to the federal government that we will do everything in our power through this program to reduce teen pregnancy, which will save a lot of money for both the federal government and the state. So there's a real problem with changing this program, and Senator Grossman is very well aware of that. Secondly, I think there's a big problem in terms of the social ramifications of doing that, because we are averting unintended teen pregnancies. In one quarter alone, DHFS estimated that over 1,200 teen pregnancies were averted through this program. So it is being successful, and it would be a real shame to the young women who are participating in this program and able to get these services to exclude them. And it's also important to know, Joy, that many of the teens that we see in this program come in with their parents. So there's a perception, I think, by that the senator would like to propound that teens are coming in without their parents' knowledge. That's true with some teens, but it's certainly not true across the board, and about half the teens that we see come in with a parent. So his proposal would also knock out those teens that are coming in with a parent.
Let's take some calls. Andrew in Milwaukee is with us first. Hello, Andrew. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm Andrew. I'm a senior in high school. And I just think that, like, being around high school and being around younger people, I know that if they're going to do whatever they're going to do, I mean, they'll just do it at any, you know, in any way. I mean, they'll first try to go to Planned Parenthood and see what they can do. But after that, if it doesn't happen, they'll just end up doing it anyway. So I think that if they're doing it safely and it's being provided, I think it's a good idea.
You're saying that if the sexual activity will happen even if they don't have birth control, or if they don't have the access to the birth control.
Yeah, and like I'm saying, they might as well do it safely and, I don't know, at least be smart about it and know about it and be educated about it rather than not having any at all.
Yeah. All right. Your reaction, Chris Taylor?
Well, thank you, Andrew, for the call. Andrew, I think your experience in being a high school student and realizing that teens will engage in this in risky sexual behavior regardless really is borne out by research that has been done in this area. In 2002, there was an article published in the Journal for the American Medical Association about a study done right here in Wisconsin that involved about 1,000 teen girls who were seeking confidential health care services. And about half of those teens said they would not seek those services if their parents were informed that they were doing so, but only 1% said that they would stop engaging in the risky sexual behaviors. So what we do know is that for some teens, they will continue with the risky sexual behaviors, but they won't avail themselves of these critical services. Hence, they will risk an unintended pregnancy and perhaps a sexually transmitted infection.
Yeah. Andrew mentioned that some of the high schoolers he knows will stop at Planned Parenthood to, I guess, get some services. Isn't that available to teens right now anyway?
Certainly. Individuals can come to Planned Parenthood, but unless they are a Medicaid recipient or enrolled in this program, we do have a sliding fee scale. So many teens do not have those kind of resources to pay for birth control and other prevention-based services that they would receive.
Yeah, and this would provide free services, this
exactly.
program. Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Claire in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am against not informing the parents, especially in the case of providing abortion. I was a teen in the 80s, and I did use these services, and I actually was being abused by my partner, and they didn't help me at all with that. They didn't know because I didn't tell them. My parents were not abusive. I just didn't want to disappoint them, and so I was able to receive an abortion without the aid and the wisdom of my family, and I regret it a lot now.
Claire, can we put this to birth control? Because I don't believe, Chris Taylor, that abortion is included in the services provided under this program, and there is a parental notification or consent law in Wisconsin. What about, Claire, getting a 15-year-old boy, a low-income boy, participating in this program, having confidential counseling and services and free condoms?
As long as it doesn't include abortion, I'm okay with it. But I do think that it's very unlikely that they will use the condoms. I'm glad that they'll have them available. But kids are so irresponsible, and I mean, when it comes to these matters, and they just, if it doesn't feel good, they're not going to want to use it.
Reaction to that, Chris Taylor?
Well, sure. I think, as you said, Joy, we're not talking about abortion. No public monies can be used for any abortion-related services. I think that it's important to emphasize that when teens come in through this program, they don't just get birth control handed to them.
Mm-hmm.
They are educated about ways to prevent an unintended pregnancy and a sexually transmitted infection. And they might not be getting that education anywhere else. So it might be their first contact with a healthcare provider that they can talk to confidentially about those issues. They are urged to consult with a parent or a trusted adult. That is an absolute critical piece of the counseling that they get. So it's a whole educational process which hopefully will enlighten them and will encourage them to use the tools that are available to make sure that they're safe and make sure that they're protecting themselves.
Yeah, and there is also some abstinence counseling, or not?
Yes, that is correct. That is obviously something we stress with young people. That is actually the first thing that we stress with young people. There's no surefire way to prevent a sexually transmitted infection or an unintended pregnancy except through being abstinent. The issue, though, with young people who are coming to us is most of them have already had sex, and they are coming to us because they are scared they're pregnant, or they're scared that they have an unintended sexually transmitted infection. So many, and the vast majority of minors and teens that we see are teens that are already engaging in risky sexual behaviors.
Yeah. So in our final minute, not time for another call right now, but in our final minute, summarize why you think this program should be expanded to include boys and men?
Sure. Well, recent studies that have looked at ways of preventing unintended pregnancy for teens and adults, for that matter, and sexually transmitted infections really indicate that male responsibility is a very, very key component in being successful. The more that we can do in educating men as well as women about ways to keep themselves safe, condom usage, birth control methods, and sexually transmitted infection avoidance, the better we are and the more likely we are to have success within this program.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Chris Taylor, Public Policy Director, Staff Attorney for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Another side to the issue coming up after the news. It's 6:36. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday, April the 4th. In our last half hour, we heard from a guest who supports a proposal in Governor Doyle's budget that would expand a program in Wisconsin that provides family planning and counseling services, including free birth control, which is currently serving low-income women and girls as young as 15, to include low-income men and boys to this program, boys as young as 15. And once again, there is opposition to the idea of minors participating in a program like this to have access and to get contraception, like free condoms, without the knowledge of their parents. Is there anything wrong with this program? or the idea to expand the program to include men and boys. Advocates say the program is working, that this is reducing teen pregnancies and saving taxpayers' money. And they say while they're still calculating the cost savings, adding boys and men to the program will only increase the cost savings by reducing even more unintended pregnancies. In this half hour, we will hear from a guest who doesn't like at least one part of this idea. State Senator Glenn Grothman authored a bill last year that would have raised the eligibility age for participating in the program to 18, so minors would not receive birth control services without their parents' knowledge. And he plans to reintroduce the bill this year. We welcome your questions and comments and your reactions to this program and expanding it to include men and boys. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Glenn Grothman joins us. He is a Republican state senator from West Bend. He will be reintroducing this legislation to limit the age in which females can participate in this Medicaid-sponsored program. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm glad to be with you, Joy. Always good to be joining the erudite listeners of the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you very much for doing it. You're just going to include females in your bill, or are you going to include boys now, too?
We're going to include them both, because the underlying problem here is not so much that the government's spending the money. That's a big enough problem. But by doing this, what you're doing is you're setting up organizations, frequently but not entirely Planned Parenthood, as the confidant of these very young people. Right now, or in the past, Planned Parenthood has done outreach in the schools pushing this program. And if you're familiar with Planned Parenthood's website or the ideas of their founder right through today, they kind of have an expectation of promiscuity among the young. And is it really appropriate in our society, is an appropriate role of government to give money to an organization to become the confidant of the youngest people in our society and carry a message that promiscuity is to be expected?
Well, the program, according to our guest from Planned Parenthood in our last half hour, is working, and the Medicaid rules require the confidentiality.
Well, I'm not sure that it's working or not. I'll have to look at the new numbers. I can tell you when the program began, DHFS, which administers the program, took credit for a decrease in births like 3 or 4 months after the program began. Okay, so that tells you the type of people you're dealing with.
You're saying that the birth rate was going, or the unintended pregnancy rate was going down without the program.
Right. Mm-hmm. What happened was, and they had the nerve to take credit for it. I can't remember the year it first kicked in. It was 2003 or 2004, around there. And they laid out this elaborate thing showing us that, you know, the number of births dropping in such and such a year. And a lot of that was 3 or 4 months after the program began. So, you know, I do not, if there is a drop in the birth rate, I do not give them credit for that.
Yeah, well, the numbers were that in 2000, the year 2000, there were 92 births per 1,000 15 to 17-year-olds, and that was reduced to 1.5 in per 1,000 teenagers participating in this program. That's a big drop.
Well, first of all, you're comparing apples to oranges there, right? In the first one, you have a cross-section of people who are in the program or not in the program. The second time, you have people in the program. Furthermore, I think most of the people who do have pregnancies at that age are people who perhaps the expectation is there already that they will get pregnant. So I don't necessarily consider these pregnancies at that age unintended pregnancies.
Yeah. So you don't, you're not sure that this program is working, but you mainly object to the minors getting these services without parental knowledge?
Well, it's not just without parental knowledge. We are setting up a very powerful organization which has very strong ideas about sexual activity among the young as the confidant of the young. I mean, why would we do that? You flip it around. If the government were going to give, say, the Catholic Church $30 million a year or something to espouse their opinions about sexual activity to the young, all the liberals around society would be up in arms saying how horrible. You know, it's not up to the government to give money to an organization which has such strong views that may be disagreed upon by some. But nevertheless, we give millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, an organization which also has very strong and controversial, and in my mind, wrong opinions, and we say, these are the guys who are going to do it. I mean, it's just clearly inappropriate.
Well, I take Planned Parenthood out of the mix. Is a government bureaucrat that's doing it? Is that okay then?
It would probably be better. I mean, you're going to have a problem anyway because I think, you know, the Social Services Department, which handles it, usually attracts a certain type of person. But that would certainly be preferable to a group which has, you know, such known strong opinions in this regard.
Well, the known strong opinions, Senator Grothman, is that you think they believe that teens will be engaged in sexual activity, and you think that's a wrong assumption?
Right. Two things. First of all, Planned Parenthood in its own right. If you look at its founder, and quite frankly, if you look at its website...
You know, I feel uncomfortable just, you know, really focusing this in on Planned Parenthood. Shouldn't we just be talking about the concept?
No, not necessarily, because they're the beneficiary of the majority of dollars. So I don't see how you can talk about this program without saying where the money is going. There's another organization in North Central Wisconsin which has very similar views. And that is the underlying problem. I mean, you are saying that these are the people who are going to become the confidant of your kids. And I don't see how you can discuss the program without saying who these people are.
Yeah, and you don't believe that there are teens who engage in risky sexual behavior that might be convinced to take precautions if they had access to this this program.
Well, if you look at polls over time, the amount of sexual activity among the young goes up and down. It's not constant. And it goes, like all activity, to a certain extent is a function of the environment which they're surrounded by. And if part of that environment is a group which is working through the schools, and normally we tell children, you know, to respect your teachers, respect the people you meet in schools, if part of that environment is people in the schools who clearly have the expectation of early sexual activity, of course that's going to affect things. You got to remember, Joy, if a 15-year-old engages sexual activity with an 18-year-old, we call that a felony sexual abuse of a minor. And so on the one hand, our criminal justice system is saying this is, you know, such a horrible, horrible thing, and on the other hand, we're giving money to an organization which almost says it should be the norm. Let's say it should be the norm.
We are talking with Glenn Grothman, a Republican state senator from West Bend. He objects to an item in Governor Doyle's proposed budget that would expand a program designed to reduce pregnancies in Wisconsin by including low-income males in this program. Right now, low-income women and girls as young as 15, who are eligible, can participate in this program that offers birth control and other services. The governor's budget proposes to include low-income males in this program, so boys as young as 15 could also receive these services, including free birth control, like free condoms. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Senator Grothman plans to reintroduce legislation that would limit the age in which men and women can participate in this program, raising it to 18 rather than the current 15. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 14 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we will discuss the election results for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Wisconsin's Supreme Court will have a new justice this summer, and she is Washington County Circuit Court Judge Annette Ziegler. We'll talk about the race, the campaign that led up to it, and what the results mean. Some people are calling for some reforms in the way that we elect judges based on the nastiness of this particular campaign, and we'll talk about that after 7 o'clock. We're talking this hour with State Senator Glenn Grothman of West Bend about a program that allows 15, 16, and 17-year-old girls, low-income girls, participate in this family planning program. And the governor's budget has an item that would expand this program to include low-income men and boys in this as well. Let's go right to the phones. Kim in Wilton is with us first. Hello, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
What do you think?
I try to be calm now. I wish I had talked in the last half hour. I'm an RN. I'm a mom. I actually received Planned Parenthood services when I was a teenager. I guess I have a lot of views about it. I really believe that any time you can access teenagers and give them advice, and not even advice, when I went to Planned Parenthood, they told me not to have sex. It was a primary, you have a nurse or they probably use NPs now who do a beautiful job. And I guess I am kind of offended at the derogatory terms that these medical professionals are termed in, who really do a nice job with these kids, and they're trying to educate them, trying to keep them safe, trying to change their lives and do so for the better. I think they do a really wonderful job. And I guess as a nurse I guess it's important to remember that it's not just Planned Parenthood who can provide care under the, you cannot, even if they come into a clinic or a hospital and they provide reproductive services, you're not allowed to tell their parents. It's not just Planned Parenthood who can do that. And I guess if you could allow boys who can just walk into Walmart and get condoms, if you have access to them to give them education about pregnancy, about talking to them about abstinence, talking about them about responsibility, they really do a really nice job. And anytime you can have a health professional access kids to say, please, think about it. Think about the consequences of what you're doing and try to be responsible about it. I think it is a really good thing. And I just like to say, to be honest, my girls and I were very open. They're not sexually active, as far as I know. But I've told them, if you decide you're going to be sexually active, we're going to get you birth control. I don't agree with it. I don't want you to do that. But there's a lot of parents who don't do that. Mm-hmm. And it's the only access kids have. I guess that's all I have to say.
Well, now, Senator Grothman, what's your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, she's free to raise her own children whatever way she wants. As far as Planned Parenthood's attitude, like I said, your listeners can feel free to go on their website at Teen Wire and see how hard they're doing at trying to persuade young children not to be sexually active. They aren't at all. And, you know, like I said, we can just look at their own website to see that.
Well, I thought we heard that abstinence discussions, anyway, are a part of the services and the counseling.
Well, like I said, I mean, you know, this is what this gal tells us. I can tell you, you know, you can look at their website and see the degree to which that is pushed. Not much.
Yeah. You are Senator Grothman, thinking that the low income teens in Wisconsin are better off without access to a program like this?
Well, first of all, just to clarify things, it's not just low income teens; it's all teens, because for the purpose of counting income in this program, they do not look at your parents' income. So your dad could be making $200,000 a year. But when you go to Planned Parenthood, they're not asking you what your dad makes. They're asking what you make. And if you're a regular teenager earning, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 a year at Burger King or something, you are considered poverty level, and you are eligible for the services. So we're really talking about everybody here.
Hmm. Let's go to Jim and Nina. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the program. I teach health for Department of Corrections, and I think whatever gets us talking about this is incredibly good, but it just seems strange to me that I deal with guys that are locked up for having sex when they're underage with another underage person, and then, you know, that's illegal in Wisconsin, and then we're turning around and funding birth control. I'm not getting it, or I'm just conflicted, but, I mean, Racine County is even prosecuting girls. There was an article in the Journal last year about that. So, I mean, I think the state needs to take a look at some sort of consistency on its point of view. I'd like the senator to comment on that.
No, you're exactly right. It's something that I find bizarre in Madison. On the one hand, you have certain legislators saying that, you know, it should be a felony. If an 18-year-old engages sex with a 15-year-old, it should be a felony. They're a sex offender for life. This is the most horrible thing in the world. And you have another arm of the government going in there, doing outreach in the schools, saying, we're here and available to give you the pill now that you're 15 years old. And clearly the state has to make up its mind. Obviously, Governor Doyle in this budget coming down very strongly on the idea that if you're 15 years old, it's not that big of a deal to be sexually active. But then it's kind of unfortunate that, you know, we are putting people in prison and, you know, you're considered a sex offender on the sex offender registry for life. So, yep, your caller made a very good point.
Thanks, Jim. Cynthia in Duluth. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just kind of stunned by the logic that was being used and the senator's discussion before taking questions. And that's he was talking about a certain kind of people who would be having unplanned pregnancies, and I'm wondering what that certain kind of person is, if he has got an idea that he can share with everybody of what kind of person that is going to have an unplanned pregnancy and how that would be expected, because that's what he did say, basically. And the other point I had is that the logic that he was using in regards to the effectiveness of the program, he talked about surveys being done or statistics being gathered from a general population of people and what kind of rate of teen pregnancies there were compared to people who were in the program. And, from what I understood being said, that there was a lower rate of teen pregnancies in the people who are in the program. That, to me, sounds like success. So I guess I will take any response off the air. Thank you.
I guess I missed the certain kind of person that will have an unplanned pregnancy, but do you want to respond to that?
Well, I think maybe she misunderstood me. What I am saying is I think the vast majority of people who are having pregnancies, it's not that unplanned, okay? I mean, you know, I think there's this feeling in society among a lot of people that if somebody has a pregnancy out of wedlock, it must have been a total surprise and a total shock. But I think in our society, mores have changed, and I think a lot of those pregnancies are not as unplanned as your listener felt.
Yeah. And again, the statistics that show that there is a much lower birth rate for the 15 to 17-year-olds now or in 2003 than there was in 2000?
Well, like I said, there was a drop in birth rates there the year the program kicked in. It was a significant drop, but it happened sooner than even 9 months before the program kicked in. So clearly the program was not the cause of that.
The program kicked in 2003.
Right, yeah, right, right, right. Yeah, but if you look like in 2002, yeah. 2003, the initial statistics that were thrown out there, and it took a while for the program to get up and running, too. It's not like everybody signed up the first day. It showed a drop in pregnancies, like I said, the first months after the program took effect. And initially, DHFS was taking credit for that drop in pregnancies, but clearly the program wasn't the reason behind it.
Next, we go to Ryan in Eau Claire. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Say, I would like to agree with your guest, and I think it's wrong for our government to undermine our parents and say that they know better than our parents do, and say that we should go around our parents and with our government and give kids a tool that they should be told not to use. I guess I'm not a parent, but I just look at it in that aspect that if I was, I would want to know what my kids are doing when they're out with their friends. So I would just like to get behind our senator and just say, keep on going then. So.
All right.
Oh, very intelligent caller there. Thank you very much for the kind words.
Brandon in Milwaukee. Hi, Brandon. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Basically, Senator, I have to be a bit tongue-in-cheek here. I can think back. I'm 30 now, but when I was a youngster, that 15 to 17-year-old range is when I became sexually active myself. And I really think, from my own experiences and from things that I continue to see day to day, that that's when the majority of young people start to experiment in that arena. And, you know, I had the talk with my parents, and that was helpful, and they were there. But I can't see how providing information and protective services to young people at the age when most of us do become active is a bad thing.
Yeah,
and
we only have a minute left in the program, Senator Grothman.
Okay, again, I'll emphasize that this is a matter which you're going behind parents' backs. The amount of sexual activity in the young is not something that's fixed and constant. It's changed over time, at least according to surveys. It was dropping throughout the last 14 or 15 years. I think to give more money to an organization that becomes the confidant of the young people and that website and past writings clearly have an expectation of sexual promiscuity among the young is a big mistake, particularly at a time when our criminal justice system is saying it is a very, very wrong thing. Thank you once again, Joy, for allowing me to be on.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Glenn Grothman, Republican State Senator from West Bend, plans to reintroduce legislation that would raise the eligibility age of those participating in this special family planning program. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.